Evident Life Church is growing. Our numbers are increasing. This room is filling up. I mean, you can look around, but look at the screen. Here's a picture from a few weeks ago. This room is filling up. We're growing. Our prayer meetings are growing. The prayer room is filling up. We've had to move our Wednesday night prayer meeting from the prayer room into the fellowship hall because at times we were getting over 60 people in the prayer room. We're seeing God grow this church. We're seeing God bring in the lost and the lonely. We're seeing people coming to Christ and walking into new life in Jesus. We're also seeing long-time, God-loving, seasoned believers that are being drawn to this church family with the same heart and passion for such a time as this. God is growing His church. He's building His church. He's blessing His church. We're growing. We are growing. I feel that the Lord wants us to spend this month of September talking about church growth, talking about how Evident Life Church is growing, and discussing what that should look like. God wants us to understand that we're called to be the growing church. We are. That's going to be kind of the title, the phrase that I landed on for this month, talking through this month. The growing church. Did you know that the church is supposed to be growing? It's designed to grow. God wants His church to grow, but of course He wants His church to grow His way, always. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We want to look at how the church grew back in the day, that early church, the first church. And we want to grab hold of what God has already done, and we want to walk this out here at Evident Life Church. So we're in Acts 2. We're going to really be jumping in at verse 37 into the Scripture, but I want to give you kind of the backstory to get us up to chapter 2, verse 37. Here's what went on. Jesus told the church to go wait for the Holy Spirit. So the church, all the believers were gathered together in what was called the upper room, and they were praying, and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come as Jesus had promised. And you know what happened? God is true to His promises. You need to hear that right now. He's true to His promises. And the Holy Spirit came. And it just blew the windows and the doors off that place. And it came and it set on that church. And the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. And so what did the church do? Did they just hang out in the upper room for days and weeks and months? Actually, they got so filled that they had to blow out of that room. And they launched into their community on that day, filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to minister in the Spirit to everyone that was out on the streets. And Peter became so filled with boldness because now he was filled with God that he started preaching the gospel. He started telling everyone in the streets, everyone in their community of Jerusalem about Jesus. And here's what happened. Let's pick it up in verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, when they heard the gospel being preached, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart, their inner man. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, Peter warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Now check this out, verse 41. Those who accepted this message, now it's the gospel, those who accepted this message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number on that day. 3,000. Now some amazing things happened on the day of Pentecost. Amazing things. The church was filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that. That is essential. In fact, Jesus said, don't go run off as He's ascending. He said, don't go run off and trying to do all of these things. Yet, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you do it. And on that day of Pentecost, the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It happened. Amazing thing happened on that day. Believers received and they used the gifts of the Spirit. And for the first time, the church is speaking in tongues and just allowing the Spirit to move in them and through them. That was awesome. The church was filled with boldness. Peter, the guy who was so afraid that he denied Christ three times, wouldn't even say he was associated with Jesus, is now filled with boldness. He's out in the streets talking to the world about Jesus. The gospel was preached to the lost on the day of Pentecost. But the most amazing thing, this is my opinion, as I contemplated this all week, I'm still here to say that what I believe the most amazing thing was on that day of Pentecost was that the church grew. That was the most amazing thing, because it concludes 3,000 were added to their number on that day. Why is that the most amazing thing that happened on Pentecost? Because 3,000 lost souls that were bound for an eternity in hell were rescued on that day. 3,000 precious people were brought out of darkness. Chains were broken off of people. Eternity was forever changed for the lives of 3,000 precious people. Jesus received the reward of his suffering on that day. The church grew. Now, we know God wants his church to grow. We know that he wants us to grow up spiritually. He desires for all believers to come to a deeper understanding and intimacy with him. He desires for the church, for all believers, for our faith to rise up to new levels and new heights. God wants his church to grow spiritually. It says in Ephesians 4:13, he desires that the church would reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Spiritual growth is not only desirable, but it's absolutely essential for every one of us and for the body of Christ. If we're not growing spiritually, we're not pleasing God. But God also wants his church to grow numerically. God's actually interested in the numbers. The apostles, Luke, even in this case, and the Holy Spirit, God, were so interested in the numbers that they made sure that it was written in the Word of God to let us know that there were 3,000 people that came into the church on that day. God is interested in the numbers. God wants to see the worship centers and the prayer rooms filling up with people, with numbers. He wants to see more and more people coming in to the gathering of the saints. God is interested in growing the church. In fact, God wants the church growing so much that he is actually the one that is growing the church. That's how much God is interested in the growing church, that he is the one that's growing the church. I'm going to jump forward to verse 47 very quickly, because we're going to go through 42 through 47 next week. So you can read ahead. It's totally allowed and encouraged here in this church. So here's the deal. In verse 47, it says at the end, after the church is living God's way and just loving all over each other and loving on people, that it said the Lord added to their number daily. The Lord added to the church daily. The Lord grew the church daily by bringing in the lost and getting them saved, getting them to know Jesus. God's so interested in church growth that he's the one growing the church. God is interested in the growing church. And so numerical growth shouldn't be looked down on. Rather, numerical growth should be desired, it should be expected, and it should be planned for. So I'm going to hang out on this whole topic. I want to make sure we really understand that the growing church is a good thing here. Why is church growth so important? I'll tell you, it's really simple. Because God loves people. God loves people. It says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He loves people. And let's remember that the church represents, in fact, the church is the family of God, those who've been saved and brought into communion, into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So God wants His church to grow because He loves people and He wants people in His family. He wants more people to be in the church. Again, let's get more of God's heart on this. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He so loved people that He gave His only Son, Jesus, so that those who would believe in Him wouldn't perish, wouldn't go to hell, wouldn't be on the outside, but would be saved, brought into relationship with Him, and forever in His family. And His family is the church. It's the church. God loves people, so He wants to see His church growing. Jesus went to the cross for people so they could receive Him and so that they could receive His gift of salvation and thus be part of His church. Check this out, though, too, in Ephesians 5:25, the second half of that verse. It says that Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And I know that we're all aware of this, that Jesus is coming back. Amen? Come on, Jesus is coming back. And who is He coming back for? He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for His bride. He's coming back for the church. He gave Himself up. He gave His life up for the church. And He's coming back for the church. And the church is described throughout Scripture as a bride that's waiting for her husband. One place to find that's in 2 Corinthians 11:2. And in Revelation, we read that Jesus is coming back for His bride. He's coming back for the church, His bride. And God wants His church to be full. He wants His church to be filled with people as He comes back and welcomes them into eternity with Him. He loves His church. He's coming back for His church. And He wants His church to be full. And He's giving every opportunity for people to become part of His church, His family. In 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. It's talking about coming back, man. The Lord is not slow in keeping that promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In other words, He wants you in His family. He's being patient, so patient because He wants you in His family. He wants your neighbor in His family. He wants your neighborhood in His family. He wants our whole town. That's His desire. He would love to see more and more people coming into His family to come to repentance. But it continues, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It's happening. It's coming. Praise God. And it will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Just a little reality check here. This is real. It's going to happen. He's faithful. We talked about it earlier, right? Jesus ascended. He told the church, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming, and the Holy Spirit came. Filled the church. Jesus also said, I'm coming back. He's faithful. He's coming back. What a glorious day. What an exciting day. And God is looking for His followers, that's us, to catch His heart and to be part of His growing church now, because He wants His church to be full when He comes back. He wants your neighbor, your co-worker, to be part of the church when He returns. So He wants us to catch His heart and to be part of the growing church. He wants us to be part of helping people encounter Him, helping people belong to His family. He wants us to all be part of helping people grow in His love. So what's our role in all this? Let's kind of move on. We know God loves His church. We know He's growing it. But we have a role. The people of God, the church, we have a role in growing the church. In fact, that's our mission, or our great commission. Our mission is to grow the church. I want to go to the Great Commission in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 16. I know a lot of us read and memorize the Great Commission as it's presented in the Gospel of Matthew. They're the same. They're both the Great Commission. They just give us more insight as we look at them together. The Gospel of Mark, verse 16, or chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Jesus said to them, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So here's our mission. What's our role in the growing church? How do we partner with God in this? How do we respond now? Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. In other words, the people of God are going to be walking in the fullness and the wholeness of God. And the things that Jesus did, the church is going to be doing. Okay? And then it goes in verse 19. It says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, his disciples, his followers, speaking this to us too, after he'd spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat at the right hand of God. Then something happened. Then the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. That's Christian living. That's exciting. And we're seeing it happen today. We're seeing it happen every day. And I said earlier, I got up here and I just said, I'm just so excited. That's why I'm excited. Because I'm seeing the kingdom of God come. I'm seeing the church be this kind of a church. And I'm seeing God move in power. And I'm seeing the lost being saved. I keep hearing story after story after story. I keep watching as the church is going out and chasing after the lost, the lonely, the hurting, the desperate. This church is doing that. It's blowing my mind. It's blessing my socks off. And literally, I wake up every day going, this is the most incredible thing that I get to be part of. Is this the growing church? The growing church. So this is the call. This is the mission that Peter and the other early disciples and followers, now spirit-filled disciples and followers, this is the call, the mission that they responded to on the day of Pentecost, and that they continued to pursue the rest of their lives. In fact, they gave their lives to growing the church. They gave their lives to it. This is what they gave their lives to, and this is what we're called to give our lives to, is growing the church. Do you see that, by the way, Pentecost? That's exactly what they did. All these things of the Great Commission. They went out, they preached the gospel. They got people baptized, saved. They moved in the power and the miracles that Jesus was doing. And whoa, the church grew. We get to do that. We're doing that same thing today. History continues to be written. One person, one salvation at a time. And we get to be part of it. What a privilege. What a blessing. And so we get it, right? God wants his church to grow. And he wants us to be those who are growing his church. So here's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at many things that are involved in growing the church. But this morning, we're just going to take a look at two church growth ingredients presented here at Pentecost. And those are spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. What grows the church? Spirit and truth grow the church. The first thing that the people encountered at Pentecost was the move of the Holy Spirit. Let's backtrack to Acts 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the move of God, by the way, that's what they heard. When they heard the move of God happening, they heard the move of God. Let our community hear the move of God. Let them hear it. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Miracles were happening. Come on. Utterly amazed, These people asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring, now this is what they're hearing in their own language. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? These people were drawn to the presence and to the evident move of God in the church. They heard the move of God. They saw the move of God. They encountered the move of God. And they were like, whoa, what is happening in and through these people? You got my attention. You've got my attention. And let me tell you this. People today, they're still drawn to the real move of God, to the move of the Spirit. They still turn their attention when God moves through His church in these kind of wondrous, miraculous, powerful, evident ways. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? So are people. They are. The second thing that the people encountered at Pentecost was the gospel truth. So the first thing they encountered was the move of the Holy Spirit. They encountered Spirit. The second thing they encountered was truth, the gospel truth. In Acts 2:37, as we read earlier, when the people heard this, when they heard the preaching of the gospel, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So here's what happened. 3,000 people that day couldn't ignore the move of the Spirit. 3,000 people that day couldn't dismiss the truth of the gospel. They were compelled to respond. 3,000. Again, the result of encountering Spirit and truth was bewilderment, was amazement. Then belief came. And repentance and baptism and ultimately salvation for 3,000 people happened. The church grew. And the growing church is going to be a church that's filled with Spirit and truth. A church that is walking in Spirit and truth. And we will see the same thing. And I will say this. We are seeing the same results that they saw on that day of Pentecost. As we continue to be those people who will just be who we are, say what we know, give what we have in Spirit and in truth. The church will continue to grow. Jesus will continue to grow His church. He will. The growing church will be a church that understands their calling, as I just said, to be who they are, to say what they know, and to give what they have. And in John 4:24, going back to Spirit and truth, it says, God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in Spirit and in truth. As we grow here at Evident Life Church, more people are being saved. More people are being served. Because God's people are getting His heart for people. And they're moving in Spirit. More people are getting served. I mentioned it earlier. Let me give you a little more details. I mean, we have people in this church that are just moved by God's love and moved by the Spirit. And they're coming, they're saying, hey, we want to start ministering to people in halfway houses. Can we do that, Pastor? Oh, praise God. Amen. Go. Go get them. Sean, months ago, actually before we even moved into this building, year and a half, 2 years ago, Pastor, can we be part of this iHelp ministry? Can we minister to the homeless? God loves them. I love them. Can we do it? The Lord needs to give us a building that we can do that in. The other one we weren't allowed to do that in. We get this building. We say yes. People are getting ministered to. People are coming to Christ. People are belonging to God's family, to this family, as a result. It's beautiful. People are walking in freedom. We see more and more of God's kingdom coming, more freedom, more love as we grow, as we grow. God wants His church to grow. Again, let me underscore this. We're part of the growing church by the grace of God because the Lord is adding to our numbers daily. God said He'd do it daily. It's going to happen more and more. And here's the amazing thing, is that as we grow, these are real lives that we're talking about. We're real people. People sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, real people that God loves. We're all in different places in our lives. We all have different needs, but we all know this, we need Jesus, and we need more of Him, and we're all desperate for more of His love. And so as this church is growing, and as more people are coming in, I want us to remember this truth, that this is God's heart, and this is what God is doing. And He's doing it because He loves people. And He's doing it because He knows that there are people here, that this church is a group of people that will respond to the call to grow the church and also love people. And that's one of the amazing things that I see here, is I see people loving people, caring for people. That's the heart of God. It's the heart of God. The church is designed to grow. It's God's heart, it's His design, and it's our mission. But again, it starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to ask Tim to come up and just play a little music here in the background. And we're going to have a time of just responding to what God is saying here. It starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just want to ask, are you filled? Are you filled with the Spirit like the church was on that day of Pentecost? Have you been filled with God to the point where you're overflowing and need to go just give Him to the community and give Him to others? Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you want to be filled today? Do you want to be filled with God today? Maybe you need a refill of God today. You know, sometimes we give out or sometimes we just start drying up. I mean, things happen in life. Let's just be real, all right? Things happen in life. We're not perfect people. We're growing. We're being sanctified. We go through things in life, and sometimes something gets unplugged or their little hole happens and we start leaking a little bit and the filling starts kind of just coming out for whatever reason. Things happen, you know what I mean? So sometimes believers who've been filled, they start feeling dry. And they need a refill of the Spirit, of the very presence and the power and the wonder and love of God. So what I want us to do, if we're going to continue to be that growing church, we got to be those who are continuing to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so this morning, as we respond to these first two ingredients of the growing church, of being a church of Spirit and truth, I want to give us the chance to respond and be filled with the Spirit. So I'd like everybody to stand up. Everyone's standing. And this is simply what we're going to do. If you want more of God, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you want to be refilled with the Spirit, maybe you want to be baptized in the Spirit like the believers in at the day of Pentecost in the upper room. And you're ready to be part of that church. You're ready to be part of that church that's walking in Spirit and truth. Not just saying it, not just like it's something we learned in Sunday school that we hear the preacher talking about and it just becomes, you know, this catchphrase, oh, Spirit and truth. But I mean sincerely, being someone who's walking in Spirit and truth and us being that church that's really walking in Spirit and truth. Then I want to make sure we give ourselves that opportunity to get filled. So if you want to be filled this morning, I simply say come. Come forward. Come forward.